I want you this morning to turn to the book of Daniel. I want you to hear the title of my message before anything else. It is a message. It's a lesson. And the title is this: Things Are Looking Really Good. Because everything is looking really bad. Did you get that? And so I want us to understand that, because too often we can look at current events and get all down in the mouth, all bent out of shape, and be worry-prone and all those things. But we have a God, amen? And He's working all things together for good. How He's doing it sometimes astounds me, makes me wonder, and all those kinds of things. But that's His business. Chapter number 7, I want us to look here. We're going to try to look at three different scriptures here this morning, put some things together, and I hope that through it all that you can look and say, yeah, things are looking really bad, but things are looking really good. Chapter number 7, and if you go down to verse number 7 with me, in this chapter there are four beasts that are presented, and the last one is just simply called a beast. He says, "And after this, in the night's visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. And I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things." This little horn's interesting. Chapter number 13, the book of Revelation, if you would please. Chapter number 13. If you'd go with me to verse number 11, Revelation 13, verse number 11. As you can probably tell, we're going to be dealing with some prophetic things from the Word of God. In verse 11, it says, "And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon." That's interesting. "And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of the name. Here is wisdom. Let him that understandeth count the number of the beast, for it's the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now, if you go back to chapter 17, chapter 17, these are all related. Verse number 7, it says, "And the angel said to me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast." You notice we've got a beast in all three of these. "That carrieth her, which hath the seven horns and or seven heads and 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. And when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is, and here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen, one is, the other is yet to come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is the seven, goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Well, let's pray. Father, we desperately need hope in these days. We need you to move upon our hearts, to give strength to our minds, to our soul. Father, we pray that you might help us to go forward with our heads high, with hope in our minds, and with love in our hearts to those who are around about us. We pray that you would bless in these moments as we partake of the Word of God, and help us to understand that things are looking really good, because they are looking really bad, and that we can know that in you it looks really good. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. The next great prophetic event that is going to take place is the rapture. Remember that. I hear a lot of people talking about all the stuff that's going on and talking about getting the mark of the beast and all those things and saying this is the mark and that's the mark and here's the Antichrist and there's the Antichrist. You're not to be looking for the Antichrist. You're looking for the Christ. And when he comes, he will shout, the trumpet will sound, and you're going to be taken up from all this mess. And all the things that transpire afterwards, what we're looking at today looks like it happened really soon. And so thus we begin our study this morning. We have discussed the political arena of communism and its goal of being really the same as Satan. If you were to sit down and read some of their things, and I'm going to read a couple of things for you, you would find that their goal is to eliminate God from the minds and hearts of people. If they can't do it through propaganda, they will do it through the sword. All you have to do is read recent history in the nation of China and know that they will use the sword. We have a man that has children in our school that lived through that in the 1990s. And the other day I sat and talked with him and he told me some of the things concerning that. I want you to listen to this morning. It's fairly lengthy. And listen carefully. It's called the Socialist Anthem. The Socialist Anthem. By the way, socialism has to be brought in by communism, but it never gets out of communism, because it has to be brought in by force in some way or shape. But here's the anthem. It's called the Internationale. It was written by a man who was a French revolutionary. His name was Eugène Apatier. He was a socialist. He was a poet. He was a Freemason. That's interesting. Listen to what this says, this anthem. Standing, the damned of the earth. Standing, the convicts of hunger. Reason thunders in its crater. This is the eruption of the end. Let us make a clean sweep of the past. It's interesting. Slave crowds, stand up, standing. The world will change its base. We are nothing, we are everything. This is the final struggle. Let's group together, and tomorrow the international will be the human race. Could we put globalists in there and you'd understand what we're talking about? This is the final struggle. It's repeated. Let's group together, and tomorrow the international, we will be the human race. Listen to this. There are no supreme saviors, neither God nor savior, a Caesar nor tribune. Producers, save ourselves, decree common salvation. For the thief to throw, to get the spirit out of the dungeon, we ourselves blow our forge. Let's beat the iron when it's hot. This is the final struggle. Let's group together, and tomorrow the international will be the human race. This is the final struggle. Let's group together, and tomorrow the international. We will be the human race. Workers, peasants, we are the great party of workers. The earth belongs only to men. The idol will go and stay elsewhere. How much of our flesh feasts, but if the crows, the vultures, one of these mornings disappear? The sun will always shine. This is the final struggle. Let's group together, and tomorrow the international will be the human race. This is the final struggle. Let's group together, and tomorrow the international will be the human race. I don't know if you see all that's involved in that, but I hope you see some of it. Consider this. This is out of chapter 11 of a paper called Communism and Religion. And the subject on this particular paragraph is why religion and communism are incompatible. Excuse me, I can't even read my own notes. And I quote, "Religion is the opium of the people," said Karl Marx. "It is the task of the Communist Party to make this truth comprehensible to the widest possible circles of the laboring masses. It's the task of the party to impress firmly upon the minds of the workers and even upon the most backward that religion has been in the past and still is today one of the most powerful means at the disposal of the oppressors for the maintenance of inequality." In other words, we're causing all the inequality. "Exploitation and slavish obedience on the part of the toilers. Many weak-kneed communists reason as follows: religion does not prevent my being a communist. I believe both in God and communism. My faith in God does not hinder me from fighting for the cause of the proletariat revolution. This train of thought is radically false." I'm still quoting. "Religion and communism are incompatible both theoretically and practically." End of quote. By the way, this stuff's out on the internet if they haven't shut it down. And you can find these things. Communism is seeking world domination. And whose goal is world domination? Satan. And it can't do it while there are discerning, spirit-filled Christians present. We can see what's happening. And so there is a purge of some sort. But there's also a spiritual side to all of this, as we see from the scriptures that we have read. And it is God working through the nations and the affairs of men to bring about the fulfillment of prophecy. And so what we find from these scriptures is absolutely fascinating. I find it fascinating because I'm looking and I'm seeing things. Folks say, well, prophecy being fulfilled right before our eyes. No, but it is showing what's going to be fulfilled real soon. And we can see the underlying of it, or the preface of it, taking place as of now. What's the next great event prophetically? The rapture. And now there are some folks that don't believe that they're going to be taken up till the middle of the tribulation. And then there's some who believe it's going to be afterwards. So you got pre-trib, you got mid-trib, and you got post-tribulation. And there's views in all three of those. I believe very sincerely that we are pre-tribulation rapture. And when the trumpet sounds, we're out of here. There's too much, I believe, in the Word of God that speaks to that. And so what we find here of the prophetic things of the future, we look at and we can say, wow, this looks like it could take place, or as in its, maybe we might say initial stages, but I hesitate saying it that way. So we see some things. From the book of Daniel, we found the fourth beast. That fourth beast was dreadfully strong and had 10 horns. It is believed by most Bible scholars that it's representative of the Roman Empire. We found also that 3 of those horns are uprooted and a little horn replaces them. And it is to be noted that that little horn, if you go back to the Daniel, speaks great things. So it has a power in its mouth. This horn, I don't believe because of that, is a military might, but likely a reference to the false religion, now listen to me, based in Rome. This great whore spoken of in Revelation 17, verses number 1 and 2, or this is the great whore, as we found there in verses 1 and 2. Her influence is worldwide. And we notice there that her influence was upon many waters. It was throughout the entire world. What do you know of today has an influence throughout the entire world that's religious? Catholicism eclipses Islam in sheer numbers. But they are second. And some believe, by the way, Justin, that they are going to come together. And they certainly will come together, but that they are working on that right now, which is true, by the way. The seven heads of Daniel seem to be the seven mountains in verse number 9. And some believe this is a reference to Rome with her seven hills. Matter of fact, they have names for each of those seven hills, and many people memorize those. It is also believed, and I believe more likely, the mountains are not necessarily Rome, but are kingdoms over which the seven kings rule, as we find in chapter 17 and verse 10. There have been those who have traced these kingdoms as attempts over the last two millennium to resurrect the Roman Empire as a political and religious combination. In chapter 13, verse number 12, find my spot. That's not the right verse. I'm very sorry. Talks about in verse 11, really, who worship the beast and his image. It's a religious and political combination. In the United States of America, we have the First Amendment. What does it do with religion and the state? It makes them separate powers. Okay? One is not to infringe upon the other. Matter of fact, the Constitution is saying to the state, you don't infringe upon the church. You don't infringe upon the religious freedoms of people. Okay? Do you understand today, through our Constitution and what's been practiced in our country throughout the ages, is a direct threat on communism? But it's also a direct threat upon Catholicism that also wants world domination. Interesting. If you were to travel to many of our nations around the world, you would find that they are Catholic. They're very suppressed people. Many of them also are under communist rule. That's interesting. And so we find that there's a combination there. Well, when we look, we find that this beast that rides the scarlet-colored beast is a worldwide religious system that guides the secular world. So we find in chapter 13 and chapter 17 of Revelation, these two beasts, or these two different powers, if you please. One is secular, one is religious. Both of them want domination over the entire world. And what we find is that they will have combined efforts as they do so. In chapter 17, verse number 4, look at that one with me for just a moment, if you would. It says, and the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color. Can you think of a religion that is their colors? I can. Decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. Can you think of a religion that's worldwide that is so rich they have no idea how much they have? And if you go on and notice what it says, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornications. What happens when their leaders commit all sorts of atrocities? They cover it up, do they not? They seek to hide it and to move them and to eliminate it. And so you have here an interesting scenario. If you go down to verse number 6, notice what it says. I saw the woman drunken with the blood of saints. How many have ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs? Parts of it? You read the whole thing, Candace? Usually required reading in our school. If you read that book, I've never been able to finish it in one sitting or one extended period. I can't take it. It is so gruesome as it speaks of all the different martyrs and the horrible, horrible things that were done to them. By and large, most of those martyred that are described in a book called Fox's Book of the Martyrs was done so by the Roman Catholic Church. So it talks about drunk with the blood of the saints, with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. By the way, that's not an admiration that says, oh, what a wonderful thing. It's just marveling at how wicked it is. There are people today who believe, one says, I wish I could find his writings rather than just his speech. I've searched for this, but I haven't been able to find it. But he believes the Catholic Church is responsible for Antifa. I have found that they have been very involved with anti-fascism for many, many years, but also on the opposite side of the fence. They do whatever's convenient. I believe she's the false religion of Babylon with its mother god, sun gods. When you study the religion of Babylon, it was basically a mother sun, and out of that came many, many, many cults, many variations of it, but it was always a mother sun. Not a father God or a father son. Now listen, there's a few things in note to interest. You see, I believe that we're looking at communism and Catholicism joining forces. You agree with me or not? When the rapture takes place and we're going up, if I got time to say it, I'll say I told you so. But I don't think I'll get it out, so I'll tell you that now. Here's something very interesting. Did you know that amongst our executive, legislative, and judicial branches, that's our Congress, our representatives, and our Senate, our president and vice president, and our Supreme Court, did you know that 84.5% of them are Catholic or what we'll describe as modernist? You say, what in the world is a modernist? Modernist. How many heard the prayer this week of the Methodist Congressman Emanuel Cleaver? Did you hear that prayer? When he finished that prayer, he said this, and I quote, "We ask it in the name of the monotheistic God, Brahma." By the way, that's a Hindu God. And God known by many names, by different faiths. Amen and a woman. That was his words. That is a good description of what a modernist is. There's religion, but there's no relationship to Christ and his Bible. Did you know that 7 out of 9 Supreme Court justices are Catholic? Would that tell you something? Now I'm going to give you a kicker that I didn't know. Vice President Pence describes himself as a born-again evangelical Catholic. He was raised a Catholic. He was an older boy. And when he had his salvation experience, which I do not doubt, He was a member of the Grace Evangelical Church, which is a neo-evangelical mega church in Indianapolis. And if you know anything about some of these mega churches, all it is a theatrical show week after week. I'm going to give you something else to think about in the political arena. We are about to have upon us a new president, and that's what they're telling us. And Joseph, what is his name? Joseph Stalin Biden. I forgot his name there. And the other one is Kamala Harris. Have you heard, you know who that is? Kamala Harris. I get mixed up. I'm sorry. She describes herself. By the way, they align very closely with the Communist Party. She describes herself as a Black Baptist. Now, Black Baptists are not like what, you know, we think of a Baptist. We think of the things that differentiate us from others. But really, Black Baptists, many of them don't believe in the resurrection. They don't believe in the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and some other major doctrines. And for many of those, it's more of a political rally than it is one around the Word of God. Oh, did you know this? She was raised a Hindu. Did you know that her name, Kamala, means lotus, which is a Hindu god? Now catch this. She's married to a Jew. Interesting scenario of all that's taking place. You see, we're looking at the political, but we also need to look at what I would say is the religious side of all this. And where's it taking us? It's taken us to the place where these beasts rule over. And there's a world domination, and there's a one world government, there's a one world church. And they're combined together. And it's looking very much like that could happen very soon. Is that disheartening? We wonder, well, it's going to happen tomorrow, but I know what's going to happen the day after. Because what takes place before all that does? How much will we endure before that takes place? I have no idea. But this I do know, that whatever happens in the near future or the far future, whatever it is, God gives us of His grace. You know, some of the greatest times of flourishment for the church is during times of persecution. That's interesting. I mean, things are looking very bad. I mean, just this week, social media is shutting down all conservative voices. And many of them are determining to punish those who have stood for conservative values. Richard Durbin is proposing a bill to Congress that basically, if I get the right words here, if you have words of dissent, you can be regarded as a terrorist. In other words, much of what I've said today would be regarded as terroristic threats. And can be put in jail for it. So what are we looking at? Things aren't looking good, are they? But things are looking good. Because we see that the rapture is at hand. When the roll is called up yonder, I will be there. That's a great song. I will be there, I won't be here. Matter of fact, think about this for a moment. We are such a thorn in the side of this crowd that when we're raptured, they will be glad we are gone. Our folks say, well, how are they going to explain it? Well, it might be because many of us get killed before then. I don't know. But they'll be glad we're gone. But can I say this too? We're coming back. Huh? And how many like horses? Well, if you don't, you better start. Because we'll be coming back to the Lord. And we'll be doing battle. Oh, we don't have to do anything. We just ride along with Him. He speaks and it all takes place. You ever thought about that? I'm going to be riding with all these Christians. And He's going to be on His white horse. I think we're all going to be on our own horses. Anyways, I'll be disappointed if I don't have my own horse. And we'll be coming back. And we're going to be able to see firsthand, as the sword of His Spirit, the words come out of His mouth, and literally millions of people are slain in the Valley of Megiddo. Whew. What kind of a scene will that be? The God who spoke and everything came to existence is the God who will speak and all judgment is going to break loose. And it won't be 7 days. It'll be about 7 seconds. And poof. Well, listen, things are looking bad, but things are looking good. And so keep your eyes not on the, I say sometimes undertaker, but on the uppertaker. Don't be so worried about the Antichrist. Get excited about the Christ. Don't look at all the evil, but look at the God works all things, that means evil things, together for good. Do we believe Romans 8:28? Yeah. And so whatever takes place. So there's things looming ahead. Who knows what they are? But I have a God who gives grace for whatever need I have in my life. I've seen it personally. I've seen Him move when all odds were against it. I graduated from Bible school in 1970. I felt leadership of God to go out and work with a good friend of mine, Brother Kenny Boo. He wanted me to come and work with him as that new work there was being started in Seattle. Technically, at that time, was Mount Lake Terrace, which is a suburb, and then we were in Linwood, where it's at today, which is about halfway between Seattle and Everett. And so we made plans to go. There was something that was taking place in Seattle at that time that caused a lot of doubt. You've heard of Boeing Aircraft. That's their main headquarters. That's where they made most of their jets at. And they had gone into a huge slump. Over 65,000 people lost their jobs. There was an actual billboard as you left Seattle that said, "Last one out, turn off the lights." And we were moving out there without any support, without any jobs, in what looked like was no job market. And I remember we stopped, we didn't have money to even pay for a motel. We stopped and had a little tent, and we stayed a night in a campground. And somewhere that evening, somebody was next to us. They were moving from Seattle. They said, "Where are you guys going?" We told them Seattle. They said, "You don't want to go there. It's becoming a ghost town." And tried to put a little fear into me, but in those days, I didn't listen to that kind of stuff too much. And so we got up the next morning, we went, and anyway, we get to Seattle. Brother Ken Blue was still working a job. He had not been able to go yet full-time to church. And so I thought, he had told me, he says, "I think I can get you on the railroad where I'm at." But that didn't happen. And so the first week I was out there, every day, I went for several hours every day. I went from one business to another and put in my application. That was back in the day when you went and hustled for it. You didn't have somebody in a, what do they call this you use nowadays? Huh? What? Well, yeah, but you have a state-run one, too. Used to be right up on 16th Street. I can't remember the name of it. Unemployment Office, yeah. And I didn't go to one of those, but I just started going to these. I remember several occasions they said, well, one guy even pulled down, he says, look at the stack of applications I got. You sure you want to make one out? I said, yeah. I felt guilty if I didn't. I made it out and handed it to him. I don't remember if he put it on top or bottom. I think probably on the bottom. And so that was the way it was. And I thought, good night. When I went into Seattle, there was something I saw just as I turned the corner to go to Brother Blue's house. And it was a little barricade. And on that barricade was a sign with the cross things on, but the back it told the name of the company that put it out. It was called National Barricade. My uncle had owned a franchise in Omaha called National Barricade. He franchised through this man. I knew nothing of that, but I saw that. It was in the back of my mind. Friday, I do not know why. Well, I know why now. But Friday, somewhere in the afternoon, I decided, well, why not? Because I figured it was probably a very low-paying job. And I went down. And I met with the owner of the company. His name was Jerry. And Jerry was a Jew. And so I walked in and said, I'm looking for a job. And I told him my situation, why I was came here, and my uncle had done that, and I had a little experience in it, and he hired me on the spot. What I didn't know was that morning, they didn't know, but that morning, not Thursday, but that Friday morning, they had a worker quit. They needed a new worker. Within 30 days, I was making more money that I made in my entire life. I got a raise from what I was making at Pontiac Motors, which was a good paying place. And I worked there for 3 years. God supplied our needs. In the midst of what was a great depression there. In the area we lived, Mount Lake Terrace, there was an average of 2 empty houses on every block. It was a buyer's market. You want to buy a house, you get one cheap because there are all kinds of them. And folks had just moved out. And God gave us that. That same week, God gave us a house to rent. And how in the world was I able to do that? Because when I got to Seattle, I had $1 in my pocket.
That was it.
And, but God took care of us. I know God can do those things. I've seen it there, I've seen it here, and what we have in the future, I have no idea. But God take us through. Amen? And so I bring this morning, giving you a lot of facts and details and so forth, but to say this, don't be scared of the future. Be expectant. God has something big. Amen? It might be going up. Okay? And amen and amen. And a lot of folks say, you know, they get in debt, they want the rapture to happen. Oh, God, would you come before my bills are due? But he is coming before all these things transpire. So don't worry about the mark of the beast. Don't worry about it. Yeah. A lot of folks are saying, well, the vaccine contains the mark of the beast. I have no idea. I have no idea. I don't think it contains the mark of the beast. But it is something that might be used for it. Because there is speaking, there is talk now that you might have to have that in order to be able to buy or sell. Isn't that interesting? Oh, who knows? I'm not going to be upset with you. You get it or you don't get it. I will tell you this. I read an article last night. Have you got me off yet? Thank you. I read an article last night about a doctor down, where was he at, Tennessee or Kentucky, who took the vaccine and died 3 weeks later. And they believe it's in direct results because he got sick 3 days afterwards, been very, very healthy. Yeah. Oh, that's interesting stuff. And by the way, you don't know this because they don't tell you this. It's in its experimental stages. Why in the world are they tracking everybody who gets it? Because you're a guinea pig and they're trying to figure out if it works. You know, we ought to think about things. Amen? So, if you get mad at me, please hold your songbooks. Put them back in the rack. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this time. Thank you for the privilege to know you and have the assurance in our heart that though things look bad, in you it's good. For you are the God of goodness. We pray you might bless in the hour to follow, and you strengthen the brethren in Christ's name. Amen.